Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm back to being positive, Chuck Mockler.
You know what? We've had a day to sit on things. We've had a day to think about things.
Everyone has sulked.
Yes.
This is a big, look, I'm from a family where we're pretty good at sulking. We get a good sulk going.
Oh, agreed.
That happened
agreed.
Today.
I think collectively, it a little bit felt like today was the day after kind of a big breakup.
Yeah. One that you were like, you know, this would have been great, but there were some signs early on that maybe things weren't going to work out.
But also, you know, maybe they're better off, we're better off.
Well, I don't know about that part.
In any event, we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're still bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week. If you were a new listener to the show and you're still coming back after the Clippers got eliminated, hey, salute.
Way to ride.
And for all the folks who have been rocking with us, thank you for sticking with us still. We still got plenty of Clipper stuff to talk through this offseason. This is, I mean, arguably just as big of an offseason as last year was. And so we've got a lot to talk about. Sorry, what were you going
to
say?
I have one more shout out to the people who are in our mentions who are not Clippers fans and vehemently anti-Clippers who also listen to the pod. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. We'll,
thanks
we'll
for
take
the
it.
Listen.
You know what? We'll take it.
I got to keep my lights on.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with kind of some more day after vibes. Obviously, yesterday, things were still pretty raw. Things were still pretty new after that sort of collapse in game seven.
So it was a definite collapse.
There's some stuff that we got to talk about sort of where we are as a franchise and as a team, where we're going. And then in segment two, we're going to do sort of some postseason grades, both on the teams, like the players individually, as well as today we're going to be doing Doc. Obviously, there's a large conversation surrounding Doc out there.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you some of our thoughts on that, as well as what we think we need to do moving forward. And then in shavings, I think one of the biggest news pieces of the day was the
portrait of the despair and destruction. Doc, it was one story. We're going to talk about how it maybe got to Chris Hayes. There's just intrigue all around right now.
Definitely, definitely. And then we're going to talk some more about Trez's future with the team, as well as Kawhi. You know, and good news, Kawhi did get named second team All-NBA. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So right off the bat, we have to give some vindication to longtime listener Step Back Tree.
Hey,
Ben, he left a voicemail and he said something that I agree with, right? Like, so he DM'd us. He said he was reassessing his Clippers fandom.
Yeah.
Which, so like, we got a lot of voicemails about this in a really weird negative way.
Yes.
Not from him. We got a lot of weird voicemails, a lot of cursing, a lot of stuff like that. Like, F this team, I'm never watching this effing team again. Which was like, okay.
Hey, which in the moment, I understand.
Hey, we've all been there. But we use Step Back Tree's voicemail because he's given a bunch of voicemails before. Great Twitter interact, all that. But he wanted to say, he said, reassessing my Clippers fandom was just an impulse reaction. Feel him on that. Definitely didn't mean that he's switching up. There's no way in hell he's here forever. More like, and this is pertinent, should I be this emotionally invested into a basketball team that constantly disappoints me?
Now that is a great and productive question.
Right after he said, but obviously I will always be. Again, impulse. I worded it poorly. It was a rough night. Hey man, we had a rough night too. I'm happy we didn't record immediately after the game.
Yeah, we tried to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, you just disappeared for like 25 minutes. I was just gone.
I knew the game was over and I kind of left.
But Ben has a point here, and I agree with it 100%, is one of the things about Clippers fandom specifically, and I don't know if a lot of people out there know this, I'm a Clippers and a Dolphins fan. Ooh. So eternal sports pain is apparently what I need to survive.
Right up your alley.
I get what he's saying here. Is also Caleb Daniels had a great tweet. He was like, wasn't it funny how like we were all kind of debating salmon colored polos? And then it just turned into like heavy analytic talk about Trez versus Zoo and all this stuff like that. Like, but I think Ben has a point here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. I mean, I think, you know, as a fan in general, it's definitely important to keep those things in check. Obviously, we love this team's like on-court production. Obviously, it's easy to get caught up in some of the stories surrounding the players,
especially with everything happening in 2022. Yes. I had a lot of emotional. I won't say health, but I have a lot of emotion riding on this series because of how absurd this year has been.
Definitely.
Which I think exacerbates all of it.
And another thing to just keep in check is like, this is the longest for a single season we've had to follow and cover the team. Oh my
God, right? Yeah. Like, this has been like a year-round season. This has been crazy.
It's literally been past last free agency when we got Kawhi. we still were playing in the season up until last night, mid-September.
Yeah.
So it's important to kind of take those things in stride. And obviously, I don't think that anyone out there should reassess their fandom. I mean, you love
not
this
in the
team.
Sense of switching teams.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you love this team, obviously stick with the team. But totally, it is important to keep those sort of things in check. Like, realize that the team's success is unfortunately not our success or failure.
Which, hey, as a Clipper and Dolphins fan, thank God. but no, like, you talked about how today was kind of like a bad breakup. Like, man, like, I woke up today and I have to do my job that pays most of my bills from home. And I was just like, man, I'm not doing any of this shit today. Like, I can't. Like, I went and golfed with a fellow Clipper fan, Carl Tart. We had a nice vent session. But, like, this didn't feel... This one, and I've seen some other Clippers fans talk about it, this collapse had a different... It had less of a heart ripped out of your chest feeling than the Rockets one. Because this keeps getting compared to that Rockets collapse that we had against them, right? Like... This one wasn't as shocking. James Harden's on the bench for that whole time that the Rockets beat us. That's shocking. This collapse was things that kind of accumulated over the year that a lot of fans were kind of worried about. But because of the expectations that we'd never been in a position of being favorites by the press before.
Yeah.
I think.
We stuffed a lot of stuff down. Yeah, I agree with you. To me, the thing that's harder about this one is just those last three games. It was just a repeat after repeat of the same thing. And to me, that was heart wrenching.
It's horrible to watch. I would rather get beat on a complete anomaly than us making the same mistakes over and over and over.
These last three games weren't even close. So it is what it is. It's the end of the season. But hey. Here we are.
Where are we?
Where we are is we are still a franchise that does have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
Damn straight.
And we do have to take the ups and the downs with that. But, you know, overall, we still do have top 15 players.
We have one top three player and one top, however you're feeling when you wake up that morning player.
So we are definitely there. And then, in terms of what we're looking at this offseason, we're probably going to see a couple of departures,
Definitely.
I think that Trez is a pretty likely departure.
Yeah, man, we're going to talk about it in the third segment, but like, poof, I don't know. No one knows what the hell is going to happen with Trez.
Definitely. So yeah, we'll get into a longer talk about that, but that might be a departure. We still kind of have to figure out what's going to happen with Jermichael Green as well as Marcus Morris, who in my eyes are must signs.
Jermichael Green. And so Jermichael Green has a player option that he can opt into. I'm going to double check on the salary, but I think it's something like eight.
It's 5 to 8 range. It's sub 10 for sure.
So he needs to opt in. Like, that would, just for the Clippers' sake. I mean, I'm not saying for him, like, if there's a better offer out there, if he learns about something, go get it. Just had another child, do your thing. But for the Clippers, like, we need Jermichael Green.
Yes.
And I think a lot of fans think that more so than maybe Doc Rivers.
Yes.
Which is difficult.
But we more or less are going to be running with a somewhat similar roster.
Pretty much the exact same in terms of top level talent.
And in terms of coaching, obviously, Doc is going to be given one more year.
Yeah. Jermichael is at $5 million if he opts in next year.
Yeah.
He might have a better offer out there.
Yes, it will be a weird year, but there are teams.
The cap is weird.
The cap is weird, but I certainly think of maybe like a team like the Mavs that could definitely use someone like JaMychal Green.
I think any team can use a JaMychal Green.
Yes,
like,
for sure.
He
for sure.
never is truly that much of a detriment to the team.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry. So where we are, we're still a team that has definitely some quality players.
Absolutely.
We might be letting a couple walk, but we, you know, still a good core, a good foundation. And I guess where do we go? Essentially,
straight to the bar.
It does tie into, you know, ideally we keep Morris and we keep JaMychal.
Our standpoint, I think that should be the two. That's the priority.
JaMychal to me is indispensable.
Yeah,
and Morris had his ups and downs. I still think that he's kind of the key to unlocking what we still have with this core.
Yes.
So I guess that's like the overarching thing in where do we go? Obviously, we're going to be keeping Doc. So I think the thing is that we need to better optimize what we have on the court.
Yes.
So all season, it was, you know, it's ever since the Warriors series in which JaMychal played great at the five.
Phenomenally.
It's been a conversation that we'd see more JaMychal at the five, that we'd possibly see Mook at the five once we acquired Morris. I looked into the play-by-play for both of these guys on Basketball Reference. JaMychal Green played less than 7% of his minutes at the five. Morris played less than 1%. Around 1%.
Damn.
So the thing is even if we do end up losing Trez, I've noticed that there is some sort of chatter out there on the internet about possibly picking up a bit, another big.
The internet.
The net? Ever heard of it? I'm surfing the waves every day.
Yeah, you're on Alta Vista.
but anyways, yeah, so I know that there has been some thoughts out there about acquiring another center. And I kind of think with where we're at, we need to pivot away from two lineups, both featuring traditional centers.
Let's only have Zoo.
Let's only have Zoo.
He's locked up anyway.
Yes.
So
I like, he's one of those pieces that I just don't know, even if you package him in a trade, if you're going to get enough value back.
Salaries are so top heavy on this
team.
We
also need to, can we please keep some young players? Can we keep
two? We still got Sham.
Can we keep two?
Nope. We have Sham, Terrence, and Fee, so, and Zoo, so one of them has to go by law.
It's too many.
Ballmer's law.
It's too many. So I think that, yeah, like working in more of a five-out lineup is obviously a key to sort of unlocking the DNA of what we already have as a team.
Well, we need a new identity, too. There wasn't an identity for this team this year.
Definitely.
There was a forced identity from billboards that said streetlights over spotlights, but we had two top 10. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a marketing identity. We didn't have a real identity.
Yes. We didn't have an identity on court. And, you know, like, there were things all season long that we knew wouldn't fly in the playoffs. You know, we knew to a certain extent that we wouldn't be able to rely on Lou and Trez in the same manner
that
we had been able to rely on them in the regular season. And that's not a knock on either of these players.
No, playoff basketball is different.
It's just different. And, you know, like, while Zoo, I think definitely, I mean, it's hard when he has such a low contract, but he easily outperformed his contract.
Yeah.
Played great, but still didn't have the sort of chemistry with the team in closing situations because it was never done in the regular season.
Exactly. It's LA Clippers film, which is if you're listening to this and you don't follow LA Clippers film, please do. Genius about basketball and how things work. He talked about the process. You need to have healthy processes.
Yeah.
And we didn't this year.
We didn't. And yeah, so I guess where do we go from here is, you know, even... We'll talk about this in the next episode, but ideally we get another playmaker. I think that's key. But even barring any acquisitions, if we can just lock down, you know, a solid 8 out of 10 or whatever that we have now, I do think that there is hope there in just sort of restructuring the way we play things. I think that Paul George and Kawhi both need to move down a position. I think that Kawhi is a natural power forward, should be playing power forward. Paul George is a 3 or a 4. Should probably be playing the 3.
He can guard the 4.
He can guard 2s. He can guard.
They're interchangeable between the 3 and the 4.
Yeah, totally. But we've moved them both up a position all season.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's where they're best.
Yeah.
Fair. So little things to talk about. Obviously, we're going to break down some more of these in further episodes.
Oh, yeah.
But
we got a whole mess of off-season content coming.
Before we move on to the next segment, do you have anything else you want to say on sort of where we go from here?
Just from a fan perspective, just try and stay positive. Also, there's absurd trade ideas already floating around. Don't listen to any of those.
let's wait a little bit.
Let's wait more than a day. It's been a day of off season.
I guess if you take one thing away from this segment, I just want to say that we can't overreact.
It's hard not to.
This was the first year of this team together.
Yeah.
Disjointed
year.
While many super teams do, in fact, make it further than the second round in their first year.
Very true.
A lot of times they don't end up winning a chip. And I think that how dominant the Warriors has been.
Skewed it.
Have skewed our views a little bit about what teams can do right away.
It's like when Tiger Woods, after Tiger Woods retired, or... you know, stop playing golf.
What was that due to?
Look, that's a whole different podcast. I love Tiger Woods. Everyone was like, oh, wow, this guy just won a major after Tiger Woods retired. He's probably going to win the next five majors. And it's like, no, this shit is hard.
It's very hard. And I guess, overall, we just want to say that it's, you know, while it wasn't great to go out the way that we did, it's not, the sky is not falling.
We got him for another year, you know?
Yes.
The sky is not falling for the team, but coming up in this next segment, we're going to be talking about who the sky might be falling for.
Ayo.
But first, Will, auto parts. Explain to me where I could even buy the. I don't even know.
What are they? Where do they come from?
I've been making my own.
Where do you get them?
I have a proprietary car build.
Well, way to go, Elon.
The Mach-mobile.
The only way to get auto parts is at rockauto.com. In my opinion, the best place to go. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So if you go to rockauto.com, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers.
They got everything
you need. They have a remarkably easy to navigate catalog. So easy. You can choose the brands, specifications, even prices you prefer. Best of all, speaking of prices at Rock Auto are always reliably low. They're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers.
Love it.
Why would you pay twice as much for the same parts?
Because I'm an idiot.
Obviously. So go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Go ahead and put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they can know that we sent you.
Hell yeah.
Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
So we are now in the postseason grade area of this episode. And we're doing Doc's postseason grade. A lot of hot talk about Doc.
Yes.
Whether we want him back or not. Vegas has favorable odds that Doc Rivers will return. Did anyone actually think that Doc Rivers is going to be fired after this year? There's a difference between wanting Doc Rivers fired.
Yes.
And actually thinking it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, you know, we locked up Doc last offseason
for an undisclosed amount of years and an undisclosed amount of money?
For an undisclosed amount of money, which obviously doesn't matter if your owner is Steve Ballmer.
The years matter.
Any amount of money. I mean, not really.
I'd like to know how many years.
Why though? He can just break the contract at any time.
I know, but I'd like to have that window of okay, so we got this much. If things don't align by this period, da 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 da. I just don't want to be like some teams who are paying multiple coaches to not coach their basketball team.
I mean, that's fair. If it wasn't Steve Ballmer, I would say, yeah, I care. But otherwise,
oh yeah, Steve Ballmer, send us money.
I was gonna say, spend Steve Ballmer's money.
Yeah,
please.
If you're Steve's personal shopper and you see a gingham shirt that he would just love, buy three of them.
Buy three. Yeah, different sizes.
Oh yeah, he may be looking slim. I don't know what his diet program is. All hot dogs.
But anyways, yeah, it was pretty clear that he was going to get more time. And I think that if this was a regular season, if there wasn't the bubble, obviously, and all the the unpreventables, I do think that there would possibly be a different argument surrounding his tenure.
There's built-in excuses. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Excuses has a negative connotation as they
should. I don't want to say excuses. I want to say variables.
Okay. That's the 2020 way to say excuses.
There's variables.
No, for sure. But like the injuries, you know, Bev's injury, PG, that's a variable for sure. That was unexpected.
Trez possibly completely tanking in the locker room. I feel like that was unexpected.
We're going to talk about that in the next segment, but I agree 100%. But there's just so many things of like, if I'm Doc and they're like, we might want to fire you, I'd be like, bubble, injury, inconsistencies. Because apparently also Doc never talks to the medical staff. What he says is he's like, I just do what they say.
Which I don't believe, but there were some injuries that clearly were not communicated. Most notably,
or handled well.
Most notably from Shamit that were not communicated to the training staff.
For sure.
So of course they never found their way to Doc. How could they?
Or, you know, you lose to Memphis on the first day of a back-to-back on the weekend, then you have to make Paul George come back against the Knicks.
Fair.
Like, and it's just like, so I guess variables is a better term. There's so many variables this season. Unless we lost in the first round, there was no way he was going to be fired after this or step down, whatever, after this season.
Agreed. And I mean, so I guess let's just open up with what is your letter grade?
D minus.
Wow.
I'm giving him a D minus. The first round, we excelled in spite of the fact that we played Trez versus Boban a bunch.
Yeah.
Second round is an F. Like, I'm giving D minus overall. The first round is a, I guess, C minus.
You also didn't agree with a lot of what he had to say.
Oh, okay. Fuck off. We're talking on-court stuff. Off-court, Doc is the man.
Yeah.
Doc is an A plus. Obviously, plus, yeah. Plus, Doc has to...
As a human being, yeah, A to the to the infinite plus.
To the nth degree. Isn't there an E? Isn't there some weird grade you can get now where you can get over a 4.0? Where you get like an E or some dumb shit?
It's an E?
I don't know, man. I just know that like people can get over 4.0s.
I did have a 4.2 in a class. But
okay. Okay.
I mean, I'm not bragging.
This isn't Locked On Updike.
I'm not bragging.
No. So like first round, yeah, C minus. Because Kristaps, you know, we don't know what happens if Kristaps. I mean, we still get through the first round if Kristaps plays the full thing, I think. But we just run into the same issues the whole time.
Yeah,
so of bad rotations. It takes the second half of those Nuggets games. He got out coached.
Okay, I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, but I want you to remove yourself from like the recency bias. And what do you give
We're
him?
We're talking postseason.
But are we?
It was yesterday.
This is a season grade.
No, we're talking postseason grades.
Oh, okay,
that's what the header says for the freaking outline. Dude.
I thought it said season.
No, season grade. Yeah, I don't know. C.
I was gonna say if we're taking in context the entire season,
C.
I would say
which is bad.
I would say C to C minus.
In the Mocker household, you're getting talked to about a C,
which you know, like by my measure, a C to a C minus means you stayed the same to maybe slightly declined.
You got a 70%.
Certainly didn't improve.
Exactly.
Certainly didn't improve.
Nothing improved from first round to second round.
Yes.
Everything that a lot of Clippers fans were worried about. Lucas Hahn had a tweet where he was like, I was talking with someone about how Doc plays Trez too much and they didn't think I was right. And then they watched game 6 and they texted me. It's like he's trying to prove you right. That's the shit that's so annoying.
Yeah. So
Doc is a stubborn coach.
Yeah. I mean, so overall for the postseason, though, I definitely agree with you. I do think you have to give him a C to C minus for the regular season. But
sure.
As far as the postseason is concerned, yeah, I would say C minus to D for the first round.
Oh, yeah. Like, dude, he got out coached by Rick Carlisle.
Yeah. Who Carlisle is a great coach.
Of course. And he obviously got out coached by Mike Malone.
Yeah, I would
we
give
started
him,
doubling Jokic late and then left Jamal Murray open. Like,
he's a D or an F for me in that, in the,
so cumulatively,
in the second round.
Cause, lower grades are weighted heavier than good grades, which in Locked On
Education,
well,
in my mind, the final is 15% of your total grade. So, I mean,
sorry. What's your full postseason grade?
Full postseason grade, I'm going to go ahead and have to give a C minus to maybe a D.
I'm going D because that's below average, baby.
Yeah. C minus is below average. C is average.
Look, man, you're splitting it. It's to me, it's firmly in the D. Like, this was bad.
Did you know kids who said C's get degrees in college? And it's like,
George
yeah, but
Bush
you're
had a C average.
You're a D average student.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're working towards those C's, dude. Like, no, like it was, for me, it's a D minus just because it was the same problems over and over.
Well, and I also think if you have to take like it, say if you have to take the context from last season, right? Like if I mean
every school year is a new one for me.
That's fair. I guess if I'm trying to judge like an improvement or a like degradation.
Degradation. Yeah. Look how did Michael at the five last year in the playoffs?
From last season, I would have to say that it was definitely a degradation. And I think the failure to see some adjustments was obviously very troubling.
And we lost the series because of it.
Yes.
Only because of Doc.
No, obviously. Not only because, but I mean, we've talked about that. I feel like we've talked about it enough. There weren't adjustments made. It was not sufficient.
At the bottom line is you got to take advantage when your 1 and 2 players have great games in game 5 and 6.
Yes.
And we didn't.
We did not.
And that shit partially comes down to coaching. And if you look at the scheme in that game 7, which I'm trying not to revisit, but here we are. The doubling of Jokic was good, but then he's too good of a passer. And then Lou and Trez were doing some, they were like doubling Gary Harris sometimes to just leave Jamal Murray wide open, which is not on Doc. Like, I don't think Doc was like double Gary Harris, but it was a tough postseason for Doc.
The rotations are definitely
puzzling.
And they are somewhat on him. I guess my thing, I agree. I mean, it was a below average job. It was definitely a degradation from what we saw last year. But how much credit can you give him through the regular season? Just going
so much credit
through everything that this team did go through this year. During the regular season, we did finish a top 2 seed.
That's what's so hard about this.
Yeah.
Right. Like regular season, when you take a step back, which I still haven't really done yet, because, you know, we're recording this literally the day after.
It's raw.
But you take a step back and, like, there was so much shit going on in that regular season. Injuries. Lord knows what was going on in the locker room. They had the Athletic article, which turned out to be 100% accurate. He handled that.
He did.
He got it done in the regular season. Like,
he did.
He gets an A from me in the regular season.
I don't know if I'm going that high, but close.
So B plus?
B.
Okay, so not that close. and the Mockler household, that ain't close to an A. But like, that doesn't, that, so 2 years ago, that would be all, I mean, not 2 years ago, 1 season ago.
Yes.
That's all we needed. But the regular season success that Doc had, which was great, like number 2 seed, what do you want us to do? Gets washed out when you are the favorite by every single basketball press person. So we are not a part of also.
I have to
this
disagree.
Is a fan podcast.
I have to disagree there. I do think that you have to credit Doc through this regular season because he was missing a third of the starting rotation.
Yeah.
More. For over 25% of the season.
No, like in a vacuum, that's great, but then we get to the postseason and like fine. We got dealt the Mavs.
No, I agree with you in the postseason.
Yeah.
I just do think in the regular season, he did a pretty good job. I think my biggest criticism on him for the regular season is just not
try more lineups.
Just not experimenting with what we already had. We talked in the last segment about like, you know, where we are as a team and where we can go. And I just don't think that we were unlocking some more of the variables of what we could do with the personnel that we already had.
Here's a hot take.
What do you got?
I agree with you 100%. We always talked about how Doc wasn't quote unquote showing his hand in some matchups.
Yeah. And maybe there just was no hand.
He didn't have another hand to show.
Yeah.
We saw that in the playoffs.
Yeah.
There was never an ace up the sleeve, which in real card playing is cheating and you shouldn't do. But in basketball, as a metaphor, please do it.
Please.
There was just never a plan B. It was there's a phrase where we are from, the state of Montana and other more redneck states, which is run what you brung.
Yeah.
And Doc did that. He ran what he
bran,
which is brought in white trash. We can say that because part of us is white trash. He run what he brung.
Yeah.
And it got us a second round exit.
Yes.
Right? So I think that's kind of what it boils down to.
Yes.
Shout out everyone still going to car shows, by the way.
Also, if you guys have any further thoughts on Doc's season.
and they do.
Please go ahead. Let us know at Locked On Clips. Go ahead and you still send a voicemail, even though the playoffs are over. What's that voicemail number?
213-986-7354. Please, no texts. It feels weird to get the texts.
No texts. We're not going to read them.
We're not going to read them. We had one that was kind of disturbing. I did text back someone who I couldn't play their voicemail, but I was like, this is a great voicemail. Do your thing. Just put it on wax. Be like Ben. Ben put it out there.
Putting it all out
there. Shout out Setback Tree.
We appreciate it. We'd love to know what you think. If you think we're being too harsh on Doc, we'd love to know if you thought he was perhaps better. Also, I'd like to know what people thought of his regular season, because I do think that he did a pretty good job during the regular season.
He doesn't get enough credit for that, I will say.
So anyways, coming up next, we got to talk a little bit about sort of the Trez issue overall. There was a story that leaked today, as well as we've got to talk about his future sort of with the contracts and with this team. And then there's some other news about Kawhi Leonard.
So it only took, 16 hours for sourced articles about...
Are you saying sourced in air quotes?
Yeah, because I think the source was Trez talking to Chris Haynes about it.
Still a source.
Sure. It's a patronizing thing because I hate this article.
I mean, that's fair, but that is still a source.
It's still sourced. Charles Mocker, and then Will, Chris Haynes apologist Updike here. No, Chris Haynes had an article that was titled something like A Portrait of the Clippers Downfall in the Bubble. And it talked about how there was an argument between Trez and PG after PG had a turnover, which he had a bunch of unnecessary turnovers. That is fair.
Well, I mean, we talked about this, but yes.
And it was about how Trez was yelling at PG about like a 3-quarter-length pass he could have hit. And PG was like, I'm just trying to do my best or whatever. And Trez is quoted as saying, oh yeah, you're always right. And then everyone cursed at each other and then everyone clapped and it got over with. First of all, this happens, I have to assume, having seen a bunch of NBA games, every game, regular season, postseason, players are going to argue about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also think this was firmly leaked from Trez's camp because it is the only thing in this postseason that Trez looks quote-unquote good in, if you only read this article.
That's fair.
But like this Clippers-Trez divorce is going to be rough. And I mean that in a media sense.
Yes.
Also, it's not an article. It's a 250-word thing. And he's not wrong. Like, everything Chris Hayes says in the article is right. Like, there were chemistry issues, it seems. Lou talked about it in his post-game presser.
Yeah. It never fully got there. And you know what else? I'm going to say we were wrong about Trez.
In what sense?
I mean, what do you mean? Also, you were a fan.
I was.
You were a fan mere weeks ago of giving Trez a lifetime contract.
It was like a year ago, but yeah.
I mean,
it would have worked. So that's the thing, right? Like
regular season production,
regular season Trez, give me all of it.
Looked promising.
Give me every ounce of regular season Trez. But when you get into the postseason, he is truly unplayable. At least in the West.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, we showed this postseason. You can't play him.
It's interesting, too, because I generally think of the Eastern Conference as being the conference with more skilled bigs, because you have your more traditional kind of bigs over there.
Not anymore.
But, yeah. I mean,
look at our division.
Yeah.
You have Ayton. You have AD. You have, whatever the hell's going on up there in Sacramento. Like, the Warriors even have, like, Looney, who kind of gives Trez the business. Like, if you're not going to rebound and you're not going to pass.
And we did see him rebound a lot better in the regular season, to be fair.
Yes, regular season, exactly. But it's just, like, it's going to be rough.
It is going to be brutal. Like, it's funny
because... Who knows what the Clippers even offer him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if they make an offer. At this point, like...
They'll make an offer. So I think Ballmer's the type of dude to be like, we're going to make him an offer. It's going to be... It's like that business bullshit. It's like, we're going to offer you something, but
you're not
definitely
going
to hate it. Yeah. So appreciate the gesture, big dog. Which is dirty. Like, which sucks.
Yeah. We'll give you $1 million a year and all the corn nuts you can eat.
Brand corn nut, like branded corn nuts?
Branded corn nuts.
Or any, generic?
Any flavor. You can even get the ranch, which is by far the best flavor of corn nuts. Anyways, Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an ugly divorce. I was thinking earlier, it's so funny because I feel like it's going to be similar to the DeAndre Jordan split. Oof. And it like, I just think
without
of
the rebounding, you feel me?
I just think of this parallel because the last year DeAndre was on the Clippers.
Useless.
I thought, I thought the only thing he was doing in that locker room was being a cancer in the locker room. And he wasn't really, the production on court wasn't really there. And I felt like at the time, even, that maybe Trez should have been soaking up some of those minutes.
Yeah, two seasons ago, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
Not counting this last off, you know, the 2 days ago, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But we've said it before, like, yeah. I mean, I've only been in the Clippers locker room for this last season. That was the only time we really got locker room access, right? No one, like,
two seasons.
Two seasons, sorry. Yeah. I've had a couple. No. We've seen a lot of players in the locker room after they have bad games, after they have good games, all that good stuff. Trez is the only person, and we use this metaphor a lot, and I really hope it catches on, who could make the air angry.
Definitely.
There's a vibe when he would get ready and everything. And it was just like, dude, what? Like, the transition from going from plucky 48 win underdog being powered by, in a large part, Lou and Trez,
mm-hmm.
to then being, I mean, the title favorites for every large publication, pundit, yada, 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 yada. That messes with you, but he still won Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah. So
I'm like, his vibe is effective. I would say it's not detrimental because it can be great. Him and Sindarius together in the locker room. Look, if we would have kept Sindarius, this is a hot take. I don't think any of this shit happens.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Him and Sindarius, in terms of chemistry stuff, him and Sindarius, that's the only person I've ever seen Trez joke with in the locker room.
Yeah.
Was Sindarius.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, we've talked about this. We haven't talked
Thornwell,
about it.
For the uneducated.
We haven't talked about this in a long time, but there was a marked difference in the locker room presence of Montrezl Harrell from last season to this season.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, part of our naivete in saying that, like, we wanted to keep Trez long term or anything like that was kind of tied to what that was.
I was jacked up on hope. You can't hold me accountable.
And he was previously like such a positive beacon
and a part of the identity
of that team last season, and I think it got hard, I mean, at least for myself, to be honest, to be objective about that from last year to this year, even though we both have on this podcast and otherwise stated how it's been a complete 180 of Trez's, basically, like, his
vibe.
His vibe in the locker room, as well as his presence with the media this season.
The identity needs to fit Trez. Trez will not fit your identity, which part of me respects, right? But like, you got to have him fit that that said identity, or it will not work.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, it's you know, we talk about guys like Jamichael Green who could go anywhere. And I think Trez can't go anywhere. Is firmly one of those guys who has to be in the right, like, in the right situation. And in that situation, he will thrive. Don't get me wrong.
Hopefully.
But
for that team's sake.
But I think that we've kind of reached a point where we're
at an impasse.
Yeah, clearly he's not going to thrive in this situation.
And in the way that he wants to thrive.
Yeah.
Because he was literally Sixth Man of the Year this year.
Yeah.
So he, at some point, was thriving.
Yeah.
It's the contract split. It's going to be, I mean, a lot of people's money is on the Hornets to give them much money. Hometown team, not really competing
Hawks
for anything.
Could give them some money. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a good time. Also, real quick, we got to get out of here pretty soon. What the hell was up with him getting extra quarantine days?
So
this isn't a knock on Trez. He had extra days tacked onto his quarantine. No one's talked about it.
So this is something.
This is fucked.
This is something that I guess I would like to you know, if I was to write the postmortem book on this, I would like to dive into for a full couple of chapters.
Yeah, who do we talk to about this?
Because we don't understand exactly where these extra days came from, especially since he was being tested every day.
The NBA's been fucking up with this stuff, too.
Yeah, between this and the Daniel Howe stuff, there's almost an entire book to be said about just, like, how they handled the quarantine.
There's a gray area where there shouldn't be a gray area.
Agreed. So, I mean, there's definitely, you know, there's definitely rumblings or tinfoil hat theories that maybe he did, in fact, have COVID.
I don't think he did.
There's
no way. Because he was in quarantine for less time than the full time.
Yeah.
But more than the, and it's just like, what the hell was it? And I think it was Jermichael Green just in an offhand answer on an interview that was like, yeah, we were pissed off about the extra days Trez got. And that was it.
Yeah.
What the hell were those?
Yeah. Definitely.
And this,
definitely.
Again, this part is not a knock on Trez. Like, yeah. This is a weird NBA. I will put my tinfoil hat on. It's a weird situation.
He did not get to play any regular season games, which, I mean, would have been helpful. But hey, we are where we are. No excuses.
Own it.
As Pat Pat said.
Also,
shut up, Pat Patterson, man. I wouldn't mind that guy coming back.
I love watching Pat Patterson play.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's
also fun in the locker room.
He's a good dude. Oh, I asked him about getting kicked in the face in Pokemon Go.
Anyways, we got to get the heck out of here. What? Anything you want to close on?
We got to give a shout out to Kawhi Leonard, made second team All NBA.
Hey.
Only Clipper to make any of three teams. That seems fair.
Yes.
All NBA?
Yes.
Come on. Apparently,
we dealt with so many injuries and stuff this year. I think it's totally fair.
Apparently, there was two voters who had Kawhi Leonard on none of the teams.
Huh.
Come throw hands.
You know what?
Bellevue and Benton, come hang. You know, there's a fruit guy outside. We can settle this.
We're going to dox those people anyway. No, okay, we're not going to do that.
They live at 1234 Millionaire Lane. So Friday's episode, we're doing a Love, Mary quarantine. Who knows what sourced Clippers gossip, hot goss is going to be going down. Some starter postseason grades, just kind of scratching the surface on that. We're going to go more in depth when we have to do three shows a week. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland.
Probably not much.
Let's hope so. I don't want this offseason to be eventful.
Yeah.
Will, where can these fantastic people find us?
If you aren't already subscribed, please do so. You can do that on iTunes, the podcast app. We're also on Spotify. We're on Deezer. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Podcasts. Basically, anywhere where you get your podcasts.
I think we're on Biden Pods,
probably,
too.
We are on Biden Pods. You can definitely find us. It's just hard to subscribe because you got to kiss your granddaughter. But anyway.
Oh, very weird. All the lips.
But anyways, if you haven't already, please leave a rating or review. It helps us out. We'd love to know what you think of the show. But yeah, go ahead and check us out.
We hope everyone's doing well.
Yeah, know? Please.
Shout out Ben. Shout out Setback Tree.
It's been an emotional time, but like I still think that we are in a good spot overall.
Yeah.
And I think that
we have PG and Kawhi coming back.
We can focus on the things that are good and hope to, you know, make a better season next year.
Hell yeah. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.